Task 3. You will hear several people talking. After each extract, write the option that best summarizes what you hear. You will hear the extracts just once. Extract 0 is an example. Now read the sentences. Extract 0.
We've been taught to deal with those painful events very well.
Hmm.
In fact, we're better at bearing them, at least certainly speaking for myself. You know, it's this Marlboro Man image of don't show weakness. But then we were questioning, you know, in doing that, are we actually denying our own feelings, denying a part of ourselves, a vulnerability in this guise of Superman? To really be open for our loved ones, for our sons and daughters, in the sense that we're all flawed, most of us are doing the best we can. And is there a peace of mind that comes from embracing, you know, one's foibles and humiliations, as well as, you know, just our successes?
Extract number 1.
It used to be doing a matinee of 8 shows a week. I would peep through the curtain to look at the audience just to remind myself why we were there. We're doing it for these people who've never seen the play before. They need to hear it afresh. The fact that I've done it a score of times is irrelevant. I must make it fresh. It must be live. And usually my eye would chance on a kid of 14 or 15. Why were they there? Who brought them? Did they come on their own, as I used to do when I was there? It is for them I do it. For the alert 14-year-old. And I was rewarded the other night coming out to the Duke of York's Theatre, and there was such a little boy. I think he brought his parents. I think he wanted to see Gandalf. But he saw King Lear.
Extract number 2.
What was your sense of the English aristocracy?
Oh, goodness, it's so way beyond me. I'm far, far, far from that. But, of course, that's one of the joys of acting, is that you can move up in the world, even if you know, in the characters that you're playing, even if you don't. So it was... It's always very nice to be somebody rather grand. Now I seem to be stuck with it, which is a bit of a strain.
Stuck with a role.
I think with old mad women, if you know what I mean. They seem to be the one thing I can do now. You know, it's funny to be pigeonholed so late in life.
Extract number 3.
And what did it mean to you?
I'm sure I was about 5 or 6, and I think, like most of the world, it was probably one of the first films that I ever saw, and was spellbound by it. And I remember elements of it so clearly, you know, the Jolly Holiday sequence where I couldn't believe that people could dance with cartoons, you know, it was like incredible to me. And most profoundly, I remember, maybe because she is a bit of a disciplinarian, the idea of feeling very safe in her hands as a child, that she was going to come in and sweep it all up and make everything right again in a very sure-handed way. And I remember just feeling safe with her, you know, with the groundedness of her, but and the magic.
Extract number 4.
What kind of research did you do for the role?
I started by reading the book Mindhunter, written by John Douglas, who my character is inspired by. And he really lays it all out in that book, just sort of specifically his journey, but also emotionally the kind of toll that talking to the serial killers, and he even says more so talking to the victims, had on him in his life, and he did have a total mental and physical breakdown. And then we had like rehearsal in Pittsburgh, so, which was great. I was doing Hamilton when I got the part, and then I left early to go to LA and to Pittsburgh. And so then we had a couple of weeks of rehearsal with David, and then we jumped right in.
Extract number 5.
Well, in the first season was so full on that it was taxing. I'm not going to lie. There were many, many hours spent in that mind frame, and it's a very isolated, lonely place to be. He's an incredibly complicated character. He's grief-stricken. He's profoundly alienated. He has an incredibly difficult time talking to people, but even being physically close to people, having any sort of, I think, quote-unquote normal relationship. He spends so much time viewing the world from behind a monitor.
Extract number 6.
Yeah, so Joaquin, yeah, he has a very intense reputation as an instinctual actor, and for good reason. I think Joaquin is peerless among actors, myself included. You know, watching him on film, like for instance in the film The Master, there's not many people in the whole world that can do that, and that can perform in such a way. You know, film is such a prepared art form. So much rehearsal and discussion and setup and lights and camera, all of it. And then they say action, and you're supposed to act like you've never done it before, you know. And it's very hard to do, to be spontaneous after all that preparation. And Joaquin is just amazing in that way.
Extract number 7.
For worse. It's really quite wonderful. But what it's left me with after 10 years of seeing that and of being a part of that and of doing quite big movies in my hiatuses and all of those things is a yearning for a kind of different sort of creative ownership. So I started my production company about 3 years ago, very, very quietly, because I didn't want it to go wrong and have it be public knowledge. And now I've got 6 or 7 things on my slate that I'm writing and producing. And because there is, I mean, the landscape has changed for young actresses and actors for the sort of roles that are out there. I struggle to find them, because the thing that I've learned from being on 10 years in the show is that the biggest luxury in life is time and space.
Extract number 8.
And then she goes to space. Remind us how that changes her.
Well, it's so remarkable that this moment that can be the most beautiful moment of her life and probably is the most beautiful moment of most astronauts' lives is also the moment when they face the smallness of everything they've ever known and everyone they've ever known, because they see how the Earth is situated and how small it is and how they can literally cover it with their outstretched hand. And so to have those simultaneous experiences, I think, can be pretty jarring.
This is the end of task 3 and the end of the listening test.